Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is episode number 15. I'm your host, Carol Topp, and today we're going to be talking about starting a microbusiness, and particularly how we can start a microbusiness, meaning a very small business that you run out of your home with no employees, just you working in the business. You can do that very easily, very quickly, even with no money, no startup money needed, meaning you can use what you already own or already know and be quite successful at starting a microbusiness. So I hope this episode is inspirational to you. We're going to share examples and stories of teenagers who've done this, although, of course, starting a microbusiness is something parents, adults can do as well. But I have with me a teenager today. Joining me is Jonah Wilson. He's a 17-year-old student here in my hometown of Cincinnati, and he helps me a lot in my microbusiness. Jonah, why don't you explain what your microbusiness is and what you do in helping me?
Sure. So the official title that Carol has given me is virtual assistant, which basically means it can be a lot of things. I help her manage microbusinessforteens.com, helping her with posting blog posts, helping her maybe with editing a YouTube video, helping maybe create a blog header or a blog image. I help her with AWeber importing email addresses when she goes to conventions. So I do a lot of different things as a virtual assistant. But also what's great about my job is it's very flexible. Because I'm virtual, she can just email me what she wants me to do, and then I can just go in when I have my free time after school or on the weekends, and I can do my job. It's a great flexible way for me to earn a little bit of income and do something that I love, which is work on computers.
Yeah, and it's even though it's virtual, we've met in real life a couple times. It's convenient that we're located in the same city, but we certainly could be in completely different states and cities, and you could still be doing all the work you do for me, because it's all done mostly via email on your computer. And yeah, it's great for me to have somebody like you helping me out doing some of these tasks so that I can focus on other things that I want to do. But It's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, I encourage some of you out there to think about how you could help another business being a virtual assistant. Let's introduce our topic a little bit about talking about starting a microbusiness. Jonah, you started your microbusiness working for me, I assume, with no startup money. You already had what you needed, right?
Exactly. The only thing really that I had to use a little bit of my own income on was I did want to register my trade name, which is I for Him Productions. So basically, I just had to register that with the state, which in Ohio it was, correct me if I'm wrong, Carol, I think it was $50.
I think that's right, yeah.
And then basically, I already had my own computer, so I was able to, I met with you at your house, and we basically talked over what you wanted me to do as a virtual assistant, but there wasn't really any startup money. I registered my EIN number, employee identification number, and that doesn't cost anything.
That's right.
So, I mean, it was very little startup.
You were up and running, yeah.
So, exactly.
So if someone asks, what does it cost to start a microbusiness, there's really kind of three answers. It kind of depends on what microbusiness you're starting, but when you start a service-based business, like you're doing, Jonah, you're providing me a service, it doesn't take very much at all, except like maybe you said a little bit of business registration, maybe a little bit of advertising, maybe
exactly.
Some kids like to print up flyers or business cards if they're providing a service that you service like, say, just something like babysitting. You know, all you really need to do is put out word, which might take just a tiny bit of money, but a lot of things can be done for free. My daughter's coming home from college this summer, wants to do senior portraits. She's a photographer. So she just asked me, "Mom, can you start putting out word on Facebook or some different, you know, online forums and networks that I belong to?" Yeah, that doesn't cost anything. So
exactly.
Those services, they can be started with nothing sometimes, which are the best. That's the best way.
Well,
but,
it's great. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just saying it's great in this day and age because of Facebook and Twitter. I mean, with advertising, all you have to do is, you know, put out word really on Twitter or Facebook, and all of your friends can come back and say, "Hey, I need to see your photos taken." I mean, it's very simple and low cost.
Yeah, that's right. And it's sort of the newfangled word of mouth, which is still the best advertising, word of mouth. But
yes.
Social media just helps enhance that word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of more like electronic word of mouth now.
Yes, exactly.
But I've had, when I meet students, a lot of times they think of a micro business, they'll think of a product that they want to make and sell. A lot of times for girls, it's jewelry or some kind of craft item or something like that. And there might be a little bit more startup costs because, of course, you have to buy the inventory before you can sell it, right? You have to make the product or the jewelry or the candle or the whatever you're selling. And then you have to figure out a way to ship it to people. So you have to buy the packaging, the boxes or something, and then you have to charge the shipping fee, the mail. Now, usually you pass that along to your customer, but, you know, there might be some startup costs, mostly in making the inventory before you can sell anything. So that's just something to be aware of if you're starting a product-based businesses. What do you think, Jonah?
I agree. I mean, that's what's, you know, something that I would recommend and you've recommended in your books. If you do have a product idea, maybe before you start that product idea, maybe get a little bit of capital in your hand by doing a service-based business. If you have expertise in web design or being able to help someone with their with computer tutoring or something, where you can be doing a service-based business to save up money towards buying your products.
Yeah, I met a student at a convention, and he wanted to start a business where he was going to build computers from scratch, kind of custom-made computers, whatever people wanted, but he knew he needed some money to get the initial inventory. So I talked to him in my presentation at this conference. I talked to the whole crowd about starting without debt, which is going to be our next episode, show number 16, basically why I don't like debt for starting a micro business. And what he did was he came up with the idea of, well, instead of taking a loan, maybe from mom and dad, or if he could have a loan from a bank, he decided he was going to start tutoring math because it was something he was good at. And so he did exactly what you're kind of saying, Jonah, start a service-based business, save the money for maybe the bigger business you want to start that takes some startup money. That's it. And you're going to learn a lot by starting that service-based business, which you can then make it more successful when you run your product-based business.
I agree, especially with your business plan and working out marketing and different things like that. You can start with your service-based business, learning those types of things, learning how to keep a schedule and different things like that, that you can then learn from trial and error and apply it to your product-based business so that way you don't have any problems down the road or reduce the problems.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Now, you mentioned earlier one of my books, so let me tell folks in case they are not aware what we mean. I wrote a series of books called Starting a Microbusiness. You can find those over at Microbusiness for Teens. But in there I talk about one student named Lucas, and Lucas started mowing grass. And what he did was he bought his first lawnmower for like $25 at a garage sale. He used the money from his paper route to buy his first lawnmower, and then he used the profits from his lawn mowing business after a few months or even a year to buy a bigger lawnmower, you know, the riding kind, so he could get his lawn done quicker, therefore he could have more clients. So he kind of built his business as he went. And there is a video called Starting a Microbusiness. It's on YouTube. If you go over to microbusinessforteens.com, you can see on the homepage there this YouTube video. And in the video, there is a clip of Lucas. And I'm showing him tooling around on one of his lawnmowers. And he explains how he built up his business over time, started with no debt and just basically what they'll call reinvesting in the business itself to build to the next thing. So although you'll see in the video, you'll think, wow, that's some pretty good equipment he's got there. He financed it all without any loans, without any debt. So although you may need some equipment to start with, you can take the profits of the business to buy the next piece of equipment you need later on. And
yeah,
then I think you've done that. I think you didn't even want to buy some software. I think you decided to buy some software to create some of the cool cartoons and videos that you're doing for me. But I assume you had to buy that kind of after you had made some profit.
Exactly. Actually, there's two things, a couple of things that I've had to save up for. But one of them, I help Carol with creating different videos for her curriculum, and I had to save up money to buy a website software called Powtoon. It's $20 a month, and so instead of the best way for me to have the income was to save a little bit of money each month from what Carol has been providing for as a virtual assistant. And so then I was able to save and buy Powtoon. But another thing that I was able to build in with the cost was as I create videos for her, I charge her just a little bit of money, just like what they would have charged her. And that's a little an easy way for me to make a little bit of profit afterwards so I can be continuing to save for Powtoon. I also did this with saving for my computer. I wanted a newer computer, a little bit faster processor, different things like that. So instead of just going into debt, I saved up and waited over the summer by working for her. I was able to save and be able to buy a newer MacBook, which was great for me and kept me from getting into debt.
That's cool. And yeah. Jonah's jumping into head to one of the great ways that we're going to talk about where startup money can come from. But we're going to take just a short break right now to give a little space for a sponsor. And then we're going to come back and continue talking about, well, if you do need startup money, where is it going to come from? So we'll be right back.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Carol Topp, the Dollar Cent Show. Today we're talking about starting a micro business with no money, and I've got Jonah Wilson, my virtual assistant, with me today. And we just talked about what is the cost to start a micro business. Well, that depends upon the type of business you're running. If you have a service-based business, of course, it can cost next to nothing, maybe just a little bit of advertising or maybe nothing at all. But product-based businesses can cost maybe a little bit more because you have to buy some initial inventory. But Jonah and I shared examples of students who build up their business slowly over time. And to avoid debt, they take some of the profit of the business and buy the next piece of equipment that they might want or the next thing to make their business better. And so it can grow slowly, but it can grow. It's very rewarding to be able to take the profits of your business. But you started it out, Jonah. We've got six ways here of where the startup money can come from. And you started by talking about just using your savings, either savings you already had to start a business or you saved the profit from your business to turn around and buy something that you wanted for your business. So That's a really smart way to do it. It kind of forces you to be a little patient, though, doesn't it? Because you have to have the discipline to save first before you go buy something, right?
Exactly. It is kind of hard, especially with what I was mentioning before the break, saving for a MacBook. I mean, it almost can feel like it could take forever to finally save and be able to have enough money for that computer. But once you save that money and purpose to not spend it, it feels so much better when you can actually say, I bought this computer without going into debt.
Yeah. And I think it's very rewarding to have a goal to work for. Matter of fact, when I encourage kids to start a micro business, I usually say have a goal of what you want out of the micro business, like a savings goal. Or it might be, hey, I just want to buy a better camera, buy a better computer. That's what my daughter does a lot. She's the photographer. She'll shoot a wedding just so that she can earn the money to buy the next piece of photography equipment, which is, of course, never-ending and expensive. But so she gets two great things out of shooting a wedding. She gets the experience, she's doing something she loves, and she gets paid, so it feeds her photography habit. And that's okay. So in the end, it might not look like she has a lot of money, but boy, she's got some pretty cool, you know, photography equipment to show for her micro business. So, you know, save the money up, either from, you know, working another job or from your savings account, I mean, or from your business profits. But, you know, I also recommend maybe that you start small. You might start as a hobby, meaning you don't really have a profit motive, meaning maybe you're just trying to test out the waters to see if this works, or volunteer. Or maybe your goal is not to make a whole lot of money, but just to break even, because maybe you want the experience more than you actually want the cash. I basically want to give you all permission to think about a micro business that way. It doesn't always have to be bigger and better and bringing in a ton of money. Maybe you want to run a micro business just for the experience of doing it, and that's okay too.
I agree. It's amazing too, you were mentioning always have a goal. It's amazing. Once you check mark the first goal of, say, for me, buying a computer, it's amazing how many more goals get added to your list. It started with a computer, and then now I basically the next goal was to save for a camera. I'm kind of a beginner into photography person. I love photography. I wanted to branch out off of just using my iPhone, maybe get a DSLR. And so basically my next goal was to save towards the camera. And then now I've paid for the camera, and just kind of like how your daughter has saved for the next camera equipment. I mean, it's never ending, especially with camera equipment. You can constantly be buying more and more.
It's true. It's absolutely true. So, okay, but say you are a little more serious and you do need some startup money. A lot of people might think, well, I'll go find an investor. Well, okay, mm-hmm. That might work. Find somebody to give me money. And that might work if you have mom or dad or your grandparents, somebody who usually believes in you. And I don't have any problem with that, except you need to realize that if you do take in an investor, they're going to want their money back. They're going to, or a loan from, say, mom or dad or your grandparents or something. But I guess I give you a little bit of warning, a little bit of caution, that when you borrow, your first profits need to go to paying that person back, even if it's your grandparents and they say, oh, don't worry about it. You know what? You need to be a good business person and at least start making an attempt to paying them back out of the profits. So that just means it's that much longer before any of the profits land in your pocket. You have to pay back your investor or your the person who loans you money first. That's just good business ethics.
I agree, especially even if your grandparents say, you know, it's okay, you know, this wasn't really a loan, it was just, you know, a gift to you. I think it teaches good business practice for the future when you actually have an investor and you have to have a deadline to pay back that loan. I think it sets a good principle and a good mindset that, hey, my first profits have to go back and pay my mom or my dad or my grandparents back. And it sets it already up in motion in your mind for any future business loans and things like that. It already sets it up how to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Now, in general, I don't like folks taking on a partner. I don't like adults taking on partners. I really don't like teenagers, because that partner can obligate you to debt, or they can spend money out of the business, and it might not be what you want to do. So I really try to discourage starting a business with a partner, maybe with a sibling where you have mom and dad who can act as referee. But please, kids, teenagers, especially I'm talking to, do not go into business with a partner. I say going into business with a partner is like being married, but you're not in love. and you really don't want to do that. Wait until you're an adult and you can draft a partnership agreement. But you know what? Usually even for adults, I just don't recommend it. I recommend you each start your own individual business and you help each other with your own individual businesses, but don't go into partnerships. Too many problems. Hey, Jonah, how about selling something to raise some cash? You know any kids that have ever done that?
I know a couple of examples online when I've done some research, especially for you for blog posts. I think a great idea for those who maybe are tech savvy but aren't sure what product could I sell online. You could actually write a short little ebook about something that you're really good at teaching. Maybe it's the piano, or maybe it's how to. Even accounting or how to do different things like that. If you're really good at it, you might be able to write a short little ebook. It doesn't cost anything to upload to Kindle or to Nook, and it's a great way that you could start a product and you wouldn't even have to have any inventory on it.
Yeah, ebooks are great, and it's just great experience to try to put into words your knowledge. I really like the idea of selling knowledge, but you could also if you need cash pretty quickly. To buy inventory or something like that. Take a look around, something that you might be able to sell. You might be able to host a garage sale. Ask your mom and dad, can I sell this? Or, sell something that you don't use anymore. Maybe, an instrument, a guitar, whatever you have. Put it on Craigslist, put it on eBay. And sometimes people will pay you a better price because you're telling them what your goal is. Hey, I'm trying to start a micro business doing such and such. I'm raising money. And you could do that. There's also crowdfunding. Didn't we write a couple of blog posts over at Microbusiness for Teens about crowdfunding?
We did, indeed.
And sometimes those are open to teenagers. Sometimes you have to be an adult. But people are finding more and more success with crowdfunding, through sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter and things like that. And there's different plans out there, different methods to raise money, but typically you have to kind of have something that people will want to rally around to help, so that they'll help support you, and then you have to give them a reward for giving you money to start up. So usually you have to promise a product, or I know a lot of authors that use crowdfunding like Kickstarter to launch their books, and then they give a free copy of their book for anybody who gave them money. So that's an idea. I'm not sure if it works super great for teenagers, but you know what? I'd love to hear a success story. If there's any out there who've raised money for a micro business through crowdfunding, that would be pretty cool. We do a blog post on that for sure. So we so far talked about four ways that where your start money can come from: your savings. You can start just as a volunteer or a hobby, not really have a strong motive to make money, just basically break even, so you don't need a lot of start money. We talked about getting a small loan from parents or grandparents, but hopefully not from a business partner. We talked about selling something and maybe crowdfunding. And we've touched on this before, Jonah, but I have number five down as you could work a temporary job. I've known quite a few kids that have done this that their goal is something bigger in running their micro business. They need some money. So they'll work at something else. Sometimes they go get a job, or sometimes they start a smaller micro business in order to earn the cash to start the real business that they want to be doing.
That's a good idea.
And sometimes jobs are hard to find, but typically in the summer, here in Cincinnati, we have Kings Island. And if you're willing to work outside in the heat in the summer, they will pay you a whopping, $8 or $8.50, whatever they charge. But it's a way to, trade your sweat equity. Basically, you're going to work, but you're going to get the cash that you might need to take you to the next step. And I tell you what that is that's motivation to work harder at running a micro business, because I think working a micro business is much more rewarding than working at some of the jobs that teenagers get, hot jobs working outside in the summer at Kings Island.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, I've known some kids that have worked out there, and I keep thinking, man, I think you'd be better off running a micro business. And my daughters have all, they've never tried to work like waitressing or anything, because they thought it was more rewarding to run their micro businesses, which were things like photographer or tutoring or piano lessons or something like that. And we've touched on number six. I'm going to put these in the show notes, folks, for you too, all these different ways we've been talking about how you can come up with the startup money, which was, I didn't put it in the book, believe it or not, Jonah, I should have. Maybe when we revise the book, Starting a Micro Business, I'll add this idea. But it, what we've touched on before about start a service business. Start a service business to launch and save the money to launch a much bigger business that might need a little startup money. And it takes some patience, but you know what? Running a business is not necessarily, running a successful business is not nearly overnight. It sometimes can take a while, but in the meantime, you're earning some money. You're learning a lot. You'll learn the discipline of saving and setting aside money for a goal. It's a very, very good habit to get into, especially when you're young, and it'll serve you well when you're adult. So, Jonah, we're about ready to wrap up this podcast, but do you have any other thoughts about how folks can start a microbusiness with no money?
No, I think that really covered a lot of different ways that people can, you know, save and raise some money for their microbusiness. I think you really touched on a good amount of different ways that people can start a microbusiness without going into debt.
Yeah. And perfect segue into our next episode. The next episode, show number 16 on the Dollars and Cents, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Basically, what is the problem with debt? Why am I so anti-debt? And we've got some great, I think about five reasons why I want you to avoid debt when you're starting a microbusiness. So until then, thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.